United Nations envoy Lakhdar Brahimi has recommended a plan that would call for the United Nations to play a key role in assembling new transitional leadership for Iraq. The plan, which has early support from the Bush administration, would dissolve the U.S.-appointed governing council to make way for the new caretaker government. Following the U.S. handover of power to Iraqis on June 30th, this new government would be responsible for holding national elections. Faisal Istrabadi is an Iraqi-American attorney who helped draft Iraq's interim constitution. He recently returned from a three-month trip to Iraq and joins us in our studios. Mr. Istrabadi, thanks very much for being back with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And Hamid Debashi heads the Department of Middle East and Asian Language and Culture at Columbia University in New York City. He joins us from our studios in New York. Thanks very much for being with us, Mr. Debashi.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And in what ways is some sort of UN-sponsored caretaker government an improvement or not over the Provisional Council? Professor Debashi?
As we stand today, the Iraqi Governing Council has a fundamental problem of legitimacy because it has been effectively appointed by the occupying forces. And as we see throughout the country, in the south and in the center, all of this uprising, whatever name we may call them in the book, still the fact remains that this is a national liberation movement that refuses to accept either the occupation or the legitimacy of the existing governing council. So the sooner the UN interferes, the sooner the Iraqis themselves will begin to have legitimacy governing themselves.
Mr. Istrabadi.
Well, first, I think we ought to disabuse ourselves of the notion that what's been going on in Iraq represents anything like a national liberation movement. In fact, in the case of Fallujah, you have the remnants of the previous regime attempting to reassert themselves. That hardly constitutes a legitimate national liberation movement. In the South, you have the person of a single seminarian, not even a cleric, who has fomented a resistance not based in any principle or ideology, but based on the fact he doesn't wish to be arrested. The problem of the governing council and its legitimacy, as viewed from the perspective of the Iraqi people, was never that they were appointed by the United States. The reason that the Iraqis have come to question the legitimacy of the governing council has more to do with its utter ineffectiveness and its complete and total failure to reach out to the people of Iraq. The United Nations obviously will appear to be more of a neutral body in Iraq.
Professor Debashi, do you have any feeling as to who should or should not specifically be on this transitional government?
You see, my point, Mr. Simon, is you have to look at the process rather than specific individuals. The reason that I insist on looking at what is happening in Iraq in terms of a national liberation movement is we have a tendency to call people by names, remnants of Saddam Hussein forces, discredited seminarians, thugs, terrorists, every name in the book, except recognizing the fact that the United States has invaded illegally, against the will of the United Nations, Iraq. We cannot begin to understand the Iraqi situation without going upstream as to how this war started. The fundamental phenomenon after a year of occupation is that this was supposed to be a quick campaign. Iraqis were supposed to pour into the streets of Baghdad with sweets and flour welcoming U.S. soldiers, but they are shooting at them.
Let me pose this question. How close is Iraq to direct popular elections, as the grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani has said, nothing less, of course, would satisfy him until that begins?
Well, the legal answer to your question is that according to the transitional administrative law, there have to be elections in Iraq no later than January 31st, 2005. Now, I am concerned about security, and if we have bombs going off in the capital city, I'm concerned about that schedule.
Professor Debashi, do you think that's realistic?
That seems to me realistic, but my concern is what sort of government, what sort of the constitution. In fact, the more the Shi'i community in the southern Iraq becomes aggravated, politicized, the more the danger of an Islamic Republic on the Iranian model looms large. And with all of this sacrifice and terror that the Iraqis as a nation have endured would be even worse than their current situation.
I agree with the professor that that is something to be feared. I do not, however, believe that it's a probable outcome because the Iraqi Shia community is not a monolith in Iraq. There are many liberal, secular, members of the Shia community, and I mean in large numbers.
But I would again point out that at the beginning of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, there were a whole range of political forces, secular, Marxist, nationalist, Islamist, etc. And Khomeini just happened to lead the revolution at the beginning between 77 and 79. And nevertheless, one should not underestimate the power of a committed minority that can manipulate and lead the revolution in one way or another, yeah. Of course.
Hamid Debashi, head of the Department of Middle East and Asian Language and Cultures at Columbia University, speaking from New York. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Faisal Istrabadi, an Iraqi-American attorney who helped draft Iraq's interim constitution. Thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.